Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. This is our Gospel for today, this Good Shepherd Sunday. Dear friends in Christ, do you feel secure or vulnerable? Now that question can cover over many different topics, can't they? Physically, or let's not talk about physically yet. Financially, are you secure or vulnerable? With all the shopping you may do online or with the credit cards you use, you may wonder if the security of your favorite store or website or maybe even your bank is secure enough. Or do you think you're vulnerable to attacks, that someone may hack some system, all your information leaked, or maybe your identity gets stolen? Maybe if you feel vulnerable, you might purchase something like LifeLock. Now what about physically? Are you physically secure? Is locking your doors at night good enough? Or you might want to purchase some sort of security system like ATD or Simply Safe. What about as a country as a whole with crazy dictators and radical Muslims and all the other enemies our country has? Do you feel physically secure, or are we vulnerable to attacks? What about spiritually? Are you secure or vulnerable? Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and Paul describes us as sheep to be slaughtered. The devil has studied us. He watches us. He knows your every weakness, and he has a plan in mind. He doesn't need to attack you now. He just needs to attack you before you die. So he waits. He's patient. He's waiting for just the right moment, and when the moment is right, he's going to attack and pounce, so hopefully he can drag you down to his lair of eternal damnation. He is a ferocious lion. You are a weak, defenseless sheep. So do you feel secure or vulnerable? One winter day, Jesus was walking in a part of the temple called Solomon's Colonnade. It was a covered portion of the temple, somewhat secluded by the outside elements, when a group of Jews came up to him and attacked him like a pack of ferocious wolves. "Are you the Christ?" they asked him. Now, to be sure, there are some who legitimately wanted to know the answer to this question. Is Jesus the Christ? Christ is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. They both mean the anointed one. In other words, the one God chose to be the Savior of the world. The one he promised Adam and Eve and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and on down the line. They wanted Jesus to tell them if he was the Christ. Not using parables, not using hidden messages, but to tell them plainly, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus replied, "I did tell you, but you do not believe." Now at this point in John's Gospel, Jesus had many different conversations with the Jews, but it was with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in Samaria that Jesus revealed himself as the Christ. The Jews, who do not associate with Samaritans, would not have been there, were not present at that conversation. We have no recorded instance before this that Jesus revealed himself as the Christ to the Jews. Either it's not recorded in John, or more likely Jesus is referring to his teachings as a whole. The general thrust of all his teachings is that he truly is the Christ, the promised Messiah. Jesus did tell them in many different ways that he was the promised Messiah. And it wasn't just his teachings that taught them this. As Jesus says, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. Everyone here is bound by the laws of nature, the laws that God himself set up. We can only do things according to physics, not Jesus. Again and again, he performed miracle after miracle, going against the laws of nature. Those miracles point us to who is doing them and lead us to listen to his words. The fact that Christ went against the laws of nature again and again prove he's not like us. He's not just man like us, but he is also true God. They lead us to believe what he says about himself. The Jews heard what Jesus said about himself. They saw the evidence of all the miracles, and yet they chose not to believe in Christ. They had already made up their mind about Jesus and rejected him. Now, in answering this way, Jesus isn't beating around the bush. He's not answering this question by talking around it like a seasoned politician. No, he is trying to point out that at many different times and in many different ways, he truly is Christ, the promised Messiah. Of course, all of us here today know that. We believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. We know that because we are his sheep. Jesus brought us to faith through the waters of baptism. He adopted us as his own. He kept us in the faith through the word. We are his. He knows each and every one of us personally. Better than we know ourselves. He is our good shepherd who laid down his life for us, who loves us, and so we love him. And because of this, we listen to him. We know his voice. We know what he says in his word, and so we follow him. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow their shepherd wherever their shepherd calls. They don't listen to other shepherds. They don't listen to false shepherds, but only their shepherd. The devil through the world tries to call out to us, tries to entice us away with the excitements of sin and wickedness. They try to lure us away using so-called science or the use of reason and logic. But they aren't our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We hear his voice and we recognize his voice through the word. So when something calls out to us which doesn't agree with God's word, we do not follow it because Christ is our shepherd. We only follow him who calls us through the gospel. We follow him because where does the shepherd lead us? And what blessings does the shepherd give us? As Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I give them eternal life. That's in the present. In other words, I am giving them eternal life. Even before Jesus suffered and died, and before his resurrection, he was in the process of giving. He was giving, and he still is giving eternal life. If he was given it before his death and resurrection, then he certainly is giving it now after his resurrection. He is giving us that gift of eternal life. That is something we have already. Now we think of eternal life as something in the future. Something we hope for and long for that we hope to have when we die. But Christ has already suffered and died. He's already risen from the dead. He's already won that victory for us. Something, eternal life is not something that we hope to have in the future. Eternal life is something that we already have now. Eternal life is ours. Even though we live in this sin-filled world, we are eternal. And that's why Jesus can say they will never perish. The Greek is much more emphatic than that. The Greek really has two negatives used for emphasis. they shall not ever perish. They shall not ever by any means perish. And then the Greek also adds into eternity. We shall not ever perish into eternity. Now it is true, all of us will die. When we die, our bodies will be laid in the casket, they'll be buried in the ground, and eventually they'll decay. But we consist of not just a body, but also a soul. When we die, our soul will immediately go to heaven. And there we will live with our Savior, singing the praises of Him. Longing for the last day when our bodies will be raised, given life, and made glorious, and then join our souls, and together, complete, we will live with Christ and sing His praises with all the saints in heaven, as we read in our second lesson for today. So we, because Christ is our good shepherd who laid down His life and rose from the dead, we will never perish. Christ has already done this. Christ has already won for us salvation. He's already promised us eternal life. And because Christ has already done this, we are secure. Jesus says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." Jesus has already defeated all things. He already won a victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. He has all the power in the world, rules over all things. Therefore, we have nothing to be afraid of. No one can take us away from God. He is our shepherd. We are His sheep. He knows us by name, and He watches us and guards us and protects us from all harm and danger. No one and nothing can take us from His hand. And yet, there are many who do fall. The devil is still a roaring lion who looks for people to devour. He still watches us and studies us. He knows our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and He looks for our weakest. He attacks where we are weakest. And He often then attacks our feelings and emotions. He tries to convince us that our feelings and emotions are more important than anybody else's feelings or emotions. Our feelings and emotions are more important than what God says in His Word. He says, if you don't feel happy, well then you should just do something else. Something that's fun or that makes you happy. After all, that's what God wants. He just wants you to be happy. Or you feel that God's Word is old-fashioned, out of touch with modern society. And if that's how you feel, then you're exactly right. It was written thousands of years ago, after all. Or if you feel that the church is unfair and unloving to certain groups of people, then you should just leave for another place. One that's more accepting towards all people in society. Or if you feel as if God doesn't love you, that God can't possibly forgive you, you'd be right, because God is lying to you. He doesn't really love you. He's just concerned about Himself. You see how the devil works. He uses your feelings and emotions against you as if your feelings and emotions trump what God says and His Word. He leads you then to believe a little lie here and a little lie there, to lure you into a false sense of comfort before He can attack you with one big lie, and then He's got you devoured. The truth is, there are many who have fallen to the devil's traps. There are many who were sheep at one time but are now no longer His sheep. But they only have themselves to blame. They were enticed away by the enemies, both foreign and domestic. Foreign from outside sources and domestic from inside themselves. They go after the false teachings of sinful mankind. They look for someone to scratch their ears to listen to someone who will tell them simply what they want to hear, going against God's word. Be it a little poison here and a little poison there, and eventually perish altogether. Or they tell themselves they don't need God. They don't need to hear the gospel. They don't need to receive Holy Communion. They don't need God's care and protection. They can make it on their own. They'll find their own spiritual nourishment. They can guard and defend themselves against the attacks of Satan and every evil by themselves. And then, because they have left the flock of God, they have gone out on their own, they open themselves up to attacks from the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. So there are many sheep who have fallen because they have gone astray and they only have themselves to blame. What about us? As we have already said, we have nothing to fear. We cannot be snatched away from our good shepherd, because no one is as powerful as he is. You see, our security, our sure hope, is not based on feelings and emotions. Feelings and emotions change. There's ebbs and flows. They have ups and downs. Our security does not depend on how we feel. Our security is based on truth, based on the truth of God's word. It is a word that is our sure hope, that we are safe and secure, not based on how we feel, but based on facts, clearly laid out in the gospel. That Jesus truly is our good shepherd who watches over us, who guards us and protects us. So when we feel vulnerable, when the devil attacks, when he tries to lead us to get us to doubt, we turn to God in his word. And for the word, the devil has no answers. When we are faced with attacks from outside and from within, we simply turn to the word of God. We know his voice and we follow him. And what does the word tell us? Who Christ is. That Jesus really is the Christ. He is who he says he is. Who saved us. Who gave up the glories and riches of heaven. Who came down and lived on this earth for 30 years and faced the temptations of the devil, the same temptations we face, but not once did he sin. So that he can give us that perfect life when he died on the cross, as he took our sins upon himself and suffered through the eternal consequences, the eternal damnation of our sins, so that he can rise from the dead 3 days later. As we know, that's no small thing that Jesus did. It's no small thing that Jesus suffered and died and rose from the dead. And if Jesus invested that much time and effort in saving us, and if he brought us to faith, then he's going to invest the same amount of time and effort and keep us in the one true faith. But it's not just Christ who guards us and defends us. As Jesus said in the last verse of our text, I and the Father are one. Jesus is calling himself God. He is the same as the Father, for they're both part of the Holy Trinity. Two persons and one God. Jesus is God just as the Father is God. They're co-equal and co-eternal. So when one does something, the other one does something. So it's not only God the Son, Jesus Christ, who guards us and defends us, but also God the Father, not to mention the Holy Spirit, who guards us and defends us. The devil, he has no chance. He cannot touch us. For the loving arms of our good shepherd guard us and protect us, whether we feel secure or vulnerable. I ask that question, do you feel spiritually secure or spiritually vulnerable? And the truth is, it doesn't matter how you feel. The truth is, God is our good shepherd. who guards us and protects us. And through His Word, He assures us that we truly are secure. For us and our salvation are safe and secure in the arms of our Good Shepherd. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of forgiveness that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.